The birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus to all the world who should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
And continuing in Luke, the shepherds and angels. So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
This story is one that we've heard maybe many, many times. But each and every time we hear it, there's something new about it, isn't there? In our family, we have a tradition during Advent where we open up a Christmas book every night and read it. And a lot of times these Christmas books are retellings of this familiar story. And then other times there are versions of it with Pete the Cat or Big Bird. But each time there's something new and exciting to read. This year, this book caught my eye. It's called The Most Precious Gift. And it's a story that was made up by the author about a little boy named Amir and his white dog named Ra. And in this story, Amir and Ra, who are best friends like any boy and his dog, travel to visit the Christ child. And then when they meet the Holy Family, Amir is so excited and so moved by what he sees that he gives his dog, Ra, to the Holy Family. And as you listen to the story and hear it told in new ways, it made me wonder, what was it about this story that caused the author to think about this white dog? And at the end, there's a little author's note that kind of gives you a hint about what she was thinking. And the author said, "The fact that a white dog is seen again and again in 14th to 16th century paintings of the Nativity fascinated me. In searching many sources, I discovered dozens of such paintings by old masters, from Stefano de Verona and Bartolo de Freri to Botticelli. The dog continued to appear in later paintings, such as Christ Healing the Blind Man and the Supper at Emmaus. Is the white dog a symbol? Perhaps. Is it a real dog? For a God who willingly became a man, what better companion could there be? I was so taken by this author's note that I decided to look into it myself. I emailed the author, and she emailed me back, and sure enough, this white dog is featured everywhere in early art. So I'm going to show some pictures, and you can tell me if you find a white dog. I see some people finding it and pointing to it. If you don't find it, I'm going to show you an answer key in a minute. Here's the second one. Look for a white dog hanging out there at the manger. Here's the third one. And then one final one. Okay, so here comes the answer key in case you couldn't find him. Here's the first one. There he's hiding. We blew that one up for you. So we hid a white dog in our manger last week when we had our children's pageant. I don't know if anybody saw him, but if you didn't, you can see him on the front cover, hiding right here. And then he's also out in our little Advent photo booth out in the Nelson White Room. You can take a picture with him. So what is it about this dog? Why are we, by the way, this one is owned by the Art Institute of Chicago, but they don't have it on display right now. The last time it was on display was in 1993. So we should all write to them and ask them to put it back out. So why are we talking about this white dog? What's the big deal? What does it even matter? To me, this Christmas, this white dog is a symbol of wondering about something and seeing where that wonder will take you. So the author of this book saw this white dog in these paintings and she just wondered about it. And like children's authors do, they wonder and then they make up their own story. And so is there a white dog in the Bible? Well, no. But there's not a white dog in the Bible. And so it makes sense that there might be a dog at the manger scene, just like there was a bird or a sheep or a goat. And there's a Jewish tradition that's called Midrash. And the Midrash tradition says this, that if it's not in the story, you're free to make it up. And so rabbis do this all the time. And there's tons of Jewish rabbis who start stories by saying, there's a Midrash that says this. And then they go on to tell a story. I consulted some articles about Midrash this week, and one of them said this. Rabbis who are steeped in both Bible and absorbed by Jewish questions of their time work Midrash together in that meeting ground between reverence and love for the wording of the text and theological creativity. I love that phrase, theological creativity. For too long, scriptures have been preached from pulpits like this one as open and shut texts, with one plain interpretation, the one that the pastor says. And there's a silly bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, which I think is so boring. As it turns out, the scriptures are much more alive than these bumper stickers would have us to believe. And the more you dig into the scriptures, the more you find out that they're not monochromatic. They're rich in layers upon layers of song and story and life. So what is it that you wonder about this day? Do you wonder how it is that God could become flesh as a tiny baby? Do you hear a part of this scripture and think that there's something odd about it, something that you wonder about? Don't fall into the trap of believing that your wonder is insignificant or frivolous or sacrilegious. On the contrary, you might pull on the thread of your wonder and find out that God unravels a whole bunch of things for you. You might find this story come alive in ways that surprise and challenge and delight you. For the author of this book, Marty, it was a white dog who seemed to be following Jesus around and following her around. What is it for you? What makes you wonder? How is your theological imagination alive this Christmas Eve? Ask the Spirit to show you what the things you wonder about might mean. And maybe for you this evening, the problem is that you don't feel like you're wondering about anything right now. Maybe your faith feels stale or tired or colorless. If that's the case, ask the Spirit to put something in your imagination this night, something that might touch you and make you wonder. I like to say, though it sounds like gloating, that I have the best job in the world. I get to sit around and talk to people about their theological wonderings and considerings. So if you want to chat with somebody about the things that you wonder about, I hope that you will. It's one of my favorite things to do. So tonight, consider wonder. Consider what God might be showing you, both old and new. Merry Christmas to all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.